Well, everybody sit down or stand up. I'm standing. Lock in your seat. You're not going anywhere because you're going to be fascinated by our guest and friend, Dan Buettner. Many of you will already say, oh, my God, it's Dan Buettner. I always wanted to hear him talk. I've heard him talk over and over. Introduce him in a minute. Reverse Your Heart Disease Naturally Summit. And who knows more about longevity than Dan Buettner? Dan, thanks so much for taking the time to answer some questions on your take on longevity, on heart. It's such a profound knowledge that you actually have accumulated. It's so much more than most of us. But just in case you guys don't know Dan Buettner, he's an explorer extraordinaire. That could fill an hour. National Geographic Fellow. To say he's an award-winning journalist, producer, and New York Times bestselling author is an understatement. The books are amazing. We'll talk about a new one. And he has worked now for 20 years, Dan, on the idea of discovering where longevity is abundant and why. That's been about 20 years now?
Yeah, over 20 years, since 1999.
Wow. And just look at him. He's 107 years old. Look how good he looks now. He's a young man with a lot of energy and all. But he's taken the idea of studying longevity and translating it to partner with city governments, large employers, health insurance companies. There are blue zone cities all over America. He really is transforming American life and educating American citizens on how to stay healthy out of a hospital, out of a clinic, without medication. All these things are possible, but you know, not everybody's doing it. And born and raised in Minneapolis, coming to us via beautiful, sunny Miami. So thanks so much, Dan. I mean, I could go on forever. Your bio is insane, but thanks for the time. And let's just dive in. There might be, you know, a very large audience viewing this. There might be somebody that doesn't know the term blue zone. And why don't we were talking off camera. Just tell me on camera, the kernel of the idea that you're going to go study and find where people live the longest, maybe the healthiest lifespan and health span. And then this phone call down the street in Minneapolis to the famous scientist, Dr. Ansel Keys. Just a couple of minutes on the very beginning.
Yeah. So the idea of Blue Zones was, in a sense, to reverse engineer longevity. And instead of looking for answers to live longer, better life, and by the way, the average American could live about 14 extra years if they optimize their lifestyle. But instead of looking in a test tube or a Petri dish, our idea was to find demographically confirmed populations where people were making it into their 80s, 90s, and even hundreds without chronic disease. And there's a well-accepted assumption that when it comes to longevity, only about 20% at the population level is dictated by genes. The other 80% is something else. So if we could find populations that, you know, are living a long time, we know it is in their genes, or at least that's a minority explanation. And so I was probably 2002, I had the idea and I cold called Ansel Keys. Now, Ansel Keys is the guy most responsible for identifying the Mediterranean diet through his 7-country studies, which followed cohorts of men from Finland down to Corfu at 5-year intervals, and noticed that the men eating the least amount of animal products were having the lowest rate of heart disease. Now, at the time, you couldn't make such a broad statement because as a scientist, you were expected to find the micronutrients. So, you know, he identified the correlation between saturated fat, serum cholesterol, and heart disease. But actually, the original work was just with animal protein. The more animal protein, the more heart diseases. And, but I knew he was famous. His work was very similar to the work I was proposing. He's 99 years old. He listened to what I said. He said, I'm too old. I love what you're doing. Fax it to me and I'll see what I can do. And he introduced me to Dr. Robert Kane, who was the dean of the School of Public Health.
University of Minnesota. Big academic center, right?
That's right. And it was with his endorsement and collaboration that I got the original funding from the National Institutes on Aging to do the demographic work to identify these five areas where people are living statistically longest, the so-called blue zones.
And well, let's list in a second the five. Did you have a clue it was going to be five? Could have been two, could have been nine when you very much launched the project?
No, I had no clue.
Okay, no clue.
I only knew one for sure, which was Okinawa, Japan.
Right.
And that's been verified for some time now, largely thanks to the Wilcox brothers.
Right.
Once I started digging into it, I found two more emerging blue zones. Well, one more emerging blue zones, and then I named Loma Linda, California, the Adventist, another blue zone. And I wrote a cover story for National Geographic and the first Blue Zones book, which was a big success. And with the proceeds of that book, I went off to fund the discovery of the second or the fourth and the fifth blue zone.
Which one didn't make it? I mean, there were the elderly women in Georgia, USSR, eating Danone yogurt. I mean, people were talking right. 30 years ago, that was longevity. Yeah. I mean, there were
supposedly 120-year-olds who drank a fifth of vodka a day, smoked two packs of cigarettes, ate Danone yogurt, and had 40-year-old girlfriends. Never happened.
Okay.
During the time of Stalin, these villages wanted to elude the draft for their young men. So these young men bribed city officials into changing their birth certificate, birth dates, to make them appear 40 years older. So then when the draft board came down from Moscow, they looked at all these, you know, guys who were 60 who were really 20.
Wow.
And later on, when National Geographic writer Alexander Leaf came down to explore all these, you know, 100 and 110-year-olds, they were too afraid to admit that they had their birth records changed decades back, and they just went along with the ruse. A couple other places that didn't pan out, the Vilcabamba Valley of Ecuador, the Hunza Valley of Pakistan, were both thought to be longevity hotspots. They're not. We looked for a while at New Finland among the Acadians, who are long-lived people in Canada, but not quite as long-lived as the people we've identified. So the longest lived women are in Okinawa, Japan. The longest lived men are in the highlands of Sardinia. On the island of Ikaria, we have a population of 10,000 people who live about 7 years longer than Americans, with half the rate of heart disease and 1/10 the rate of dementia. In the Nicoya Peninsula of Costa Rica, we have a population that spends 1/15 the amount we do on healthcare, and they have half the rate of middle-aged mortality, which means, Joel, guys like you and me have about a twofold better chance of reaching a healthy age 95 than the average American does. And then finally, among the Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda, California, a population of adherent Christians who are living about a decade longer than their North American counterparts.
Wow.
So these are people who've achieved the outcomes we want. They've lived a long time, probably the capacity of the human machine, without the diseases that foreshorten our lives. And the last 20 years of my career focus has been trying to explain what and how they did it, and more importantly, is how we can do it. And the findings have been completely counterintuitive. They're not what people think, but it is a powerful set of data, and I believe a powerful answer for a country that's very sick, spending over $3.5 trillion a year on largely avoidable health care. And we got to start looking back if we want answers.
And just to circle back to one statement, if anybody's listening and they're a history of medicine geek or history of nutrition geek like I am, and I got to say you are, Ansel Keys and his team of experts around the world that produced this massive seven-country study — there always were seven-country study — their team was the father of the Mediterranean diet, probably the most acknowledged healthy diet pattern in the world. And their teachings have proved to be long-lived and accurate, despite an internet full of naysayers. And it just comes up in waves over and over. It's resurging now, but we'll shut that down. Tell us, let's talk about the power nine, the blue zones, the nine findings, but then real quickly, but maybe focus on what you observed in these five areas: commonality of diet, commonality of nutrition. Lessons people listening today can say, I didn't know that, and I'm going to adopt more of the following one or two superfoods.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in superfoods. So that Power Nine, I actually hate that term, but I said it once and it stuck. But it's really the nine common denominators. So no matter where you go in the world and you see long live people, you see the same factors occurring over and over. And, you know, just not going through all nine of them, but to start where I think you want to start is the diet. So okay. We did a meta-analysis. If you want to know what a 100-year-old ate to live to be 100, you can't just ask them what he'd been eating. For one reason, it only reflects, you know, today. And the second reason is they don't really remember. You know, if I asked you what you had for lunch a week ago Tuesday, other than knowing it was vegan, you probably can't remember what exactly you ate. So by the same token, you can't ask a 100-year-old what they were eating when they were little kids or teenagers or young adults or middle-aged or newly retired. So to get at that, my team aggregated dietary surveys done over the past 100 years in all blue zones. Sorry about that. I'm longevity expert dies. No, I'm just getting over COVID. But
sorry.
So the we found 155 dietary surveys done in all five blue zones over the past 100 years. And when you add it all up, they are eating 90 to 100% whole plant-based foods. Their diet is very highly focused on complex carbohydrates. You know, my paleo and keto brethren, they're largely afraid of carbohydrates, and indeed simple carbohydrates, your cookies and white flours and sugars and high fructose corn syrup. Yes, they're all toxic, but the five pillars of every longevity diet in the world are whole grains, greens, tubers like sweet potatoes, nuts, and beans. And the cornerstone of every longevity diet in the world seems to be about a cup of beans a day, which we believe adds about 4 years of life expectancy if you can adopt that. But Joel, they also have a strong sense of purpose. We know it conveys life expectancy. They have very vibrant social lives surrounded by people who reinforce good behaviors, but also care about them on a bad day. They tend to be religious. They tend to be very family focused. They drink a little bit, a glass or two of wine a day, and they move naturally. They don't exercise in the way we think of exercise, which I know is often disruptive, but they live in villages where every time they go to work or a friend's house, it occasions a walk. They have gardens out back. Their houses are not full of mechanical conveniences to do their work. So they're kneading bread by hand and, you know, sweeping floors by hand, et cetera. And all this adds up to movement every 20 minutes or so, which is keeping their metabolism at a higher level and burning far more calories than the average person with a gym membership does, who in reality, they think they're going to go four or five times a week. But if you look at the averages, it's closer to once or twice a month.
Well, that's fascinating. So the five nutritional pillars of longevity and the five food groups. But I know I've heard you lecture about, you know, of those five, the number one, I think you kind of intimated it already, but which, you know, listeners right now say, I want 4X years of life. What do they need to eat more of across beans. The five blue zones, you know, lessons across the world?
Okay, we all need protein. The average American, as you know, gets about twice as much protein as they need. But especially as you get older, you need protein. And it's my observation from blue zones that the number one source of protein is beans. And they're getting that protein by combining a bean with a grain. So in Costa Rica, it'll be corn tortillas and black beans. In Icaria, it will be farro and chickpeas. And in Sardinia, it'll be a minestrone, which is almost always some barley with three or four kinds of beans, including lentils and navy beans and also sourdough bread. But when you have a grain and a bean and you mix them, you have all the amino acids necessary for human sustenance that will build muscle. that will take care of your protein needs.
I appreciate that. So the legume family, of course, we have a famous cardiac surgeon in Palm Springs, California, 6 years ago gave legumes a bad name without a science support. Your 20 years of research on longevity zones would argue the opposite. True?
I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, if all you have to do is look in the academic literature, people in blue zones, their main source of protein for most of the last century has been beans. Now, that's not to say they don't eat meat. They've eaten meat as a celebratory food no more than five times a month. In Okinawa, it was less than 2% of their diet until about 1980. Among the Seventh-day Adventists, you have the longest-lived Adventist eat no meat at all. So, but beans are, you know, you can store them. They're cheap. And they have these phenomenal recipes that make beans taste good. I mean, I think one of the biggest longevity secrets that people in blue zones offer us is they know how to make beans taste delicious. And we're kind of stuck in the, you know, Boston baked bean era, or, you know, sprinkling them on salads, which aren't bad, but they certainly don't represent the potential, the culinary potential of beans. Uh-huh. You know, I wrote this book, The Blue Zones Kitchen, that found 100 recipes to live to 100. And actually went into the homes of these 80 and 90 year old women who've been cooking the same way for a lifetime. And it represents in many cases a millennia of food wisdom. Almost every main meal has beans in it, and they're phenomenal.
So it's interesting. You brought up protein. Most Americans eat twice as much protein as nutritional experts would argue they need. You know, there's a movement right now called the muscle-centric movement of longevity, that more skeletal muscle, longer life. And the two ways to get skeletal muscle are to lift weights and eat an enormous amount of protein. And most of these advocates for muscle-centric longevity are talking about eating tons of animal protein. I mean, is that what you have seen in your 20 years in the blue zones, where there actually is longevity proven? They've got weight machines all over, and they've got, you know, butchers carving left and right to make sure you get 200 grams of protein a day.
They're not wrong in that muscle mass is important, especially as you get older. If we lose our muscle mass at 1 or 2% a year, and that can accelerate over time if you're not getting enough protein. But if you're eating 200 grams of protein, of animal protein, you're also getting the saturated fats and the hormones and the antibiotics and the aggregation of toxins that meat brings along with it. So people in blue zones have muscle mass, not because they're going to the gym, but because they're doing daily chores all day long. Many of them are still farmers. They all have gardens out back where they're working a couple hours a day. They're repairing their own homes. They're walking. So they are using their bodies constantly, and they're doing weight bearing lifting, which keeps their muscles. But I believe the majority of their protein is not coming from meat. It's coming from plant-based sources.
Yeah. I mean, with the physical appearance of a room of people in their 90s in Sardinia be relatively thin. I mean, you wouldn't describe them as muscle bound.
No.
At the average appearance. I mean, they're also probably not obese on average.
No, they're not. It's very rare to find an obese 90 year old in fewer than 1%. Okay. in the original blue zones.
Right.
They also won't be frail. They will be active. And, you know, these places like Sardinia and Icaria, guys are tough. They'll still have a handshake that feels like a vice grip, but it's not from eating meat, and it's not from going in the weight room. Nobody has a gym in the blue zone. Not traditionally. Things are changing. And I know, you know, people travel to modern day Sardinia and, you know, see people eating pizza and French fries and burgers and say, damn, Buehner's wrong. But National Geographic project did was capture what these people have done for most of their 100 years. And for, you know, 80, 90% of their time, no gyms, no hamburgers, no no Coca-Colas. They're eating whole plant-based food and they're moving naturally to keep strong and keep their cardiovascular system in good shape.
Excellent. Excellent. So tell me about new book, The Blue Zones American Kitchen. What'd you accomplish and why does everybody here need a copy in their kitchen right now?
If you want to eat to live to be 100, eat like a centenarian. And what the Blue Zones American Kitchen has done is we found that diet here in America. I work with an NYU researcher and we know more or less what the dietary guidelines are. And we found that not all Americans, but between about 1890 and 1920, African, Asian, Native, and Latin Americans were essentially eating a Blue Zone diet. And National Geographic photographer David McLean and I spent 3 years traveling from Maine to Miami to Minneapolis to Maui, finding these historian chefs who could reproduce this, you know, alternative standard American diet. And the book is 100% whole food, plant-based, but there's more culinary genius, I believe, in this book than you'll see in any quote-unquote cookbook. It's National Geographic photography, and it's also, here it is right here, it's gorgeous photography, but it's also 100 recipes to live to be 100, and I'm very proud.
I think I saw a bean there, Dan.
Oh, you'll see beans in about half the recipes.
Good page to open.
Its predecessor, Blue Zones Kitchen, was a number one New York Times bestseller and a number one Wall Street Journal bestseller. And I just think that, you know, we've arrived to a place in America where 72% of us are obese or overweight, and we're ready to try something new. And, you know, from my research, the old is the new. I mean, yeah. much of this cooking, people who have grandparents or great grandparents will recognize, but it's inexpensive, it's fast to make, and its ingredients are accessible to anybody. And a new meta-analysis came out of Norway this last February, followed about 700,000 people for 30 years, and found that people who are eating mostly a plant-based diet with limited amounts of fish and meat, just halfway between a standard American diet and a Blue Zones diet, those people, for a 20-year-old woman, it's an extra 10 years of life expectancy. And for a 20-year-old man, it's an extra 13 years of life expectancy. Wow. And even at our age, eating a whole food plant-based diet is worth about 8 extra years of life expectancy. So the value proposition is huge here. And we'll spend literally trillions of dollars on pills and supplements and dietary plans and gym memberships and superfoods and on and on and on, and completely overlooked that the secret to our health lies in a bag of beans, some healthy grains, some fresh greens, and some fruit. And if we could just learn how to make that taste delicious and set up our environment so it's easy to eat that way, you're on your way to another half a dozen or even dozen extra years of good life expectancy.
Wow. Powerful stuff. And actually it segues to two questions left. You know, somebody listening might say, well, that works in Costa Rica and it works in Icaria, but I live in Peoria, Illinois, and maybe I actually should pick a city in Iowa. Give us one example of a city who has applied for, been approved, and has adopted a Blue Zones municipal plan, and some of the outcomes for adults and children. Pick any one town and just a brief report. It works in America.
Yeah. So my day job for the past dozen years have been working with insurance companies and cities to not try to convince everybody in the city to eat a whole food plant-based diet, though we try that a little bit, but mostly the key insight from Blue Zones is if you try to change your behavior, you'll fail. What we need to do in America or as individuals is optimize our environment, our surroundings, so that our unconscious choices are better. So our city work involves working with city council to adopt policies that favor healthy food over junk food and favor the pedestrian over the motorist. Our teams then go in and certify restaurants, grocery stores, workplaces, schools, and churches whose policies also favor healthy food over junk food and favor walking instead of driving. And then we reach about 15% of the adult population. Also to have them change their kitchen and their social circles so it's easier for them to eat plant-based. Now, I argue one of the best and most powerful things you can do if you want to eat more healthy plant-based food is make friends with the vegan or vegetarian, because they're going to show you not only where to find this food, but more importantly, they're going to show you where to find delicious plant-based food. And at the end of the day, if you don't like it, you're not going to eat it. And most restaurants, as you're pointing out, they don't know how to make good plant-based food. So unless you're going to the right restaurants or learning how to make it yourself, you're right. It's very hard to do it in America. But making that effort to set up your ecosystem, learn a few plant-based recipes and incorporate it into your daily routine, the payoff is enormous. You can throw away a lot of your statins. You can throw away a lot of your diabetes medicines if you just adopt this way of eating early enough and stick to it.
And you've shown that, you know, when you measure metrics in a whole city, that you can actually determine that although there may be pushback and resistance in cities in the United States, there's enough change that weight and other parameters have improved. I mean, I've read your phenomenal studies. Okay, so one last question.
So Fort Worth, Texas, just to
there we go. Give us Fort Worth.
Five. They worked with us for 5 years. We had a staff of 30 people there working full time for 5 years. The rest of Texas over that time, their obesity rate went up. In Fort Worth, the obesity rate went down by 30%. Their ranking and Gallup's well-being index went up about 50 points to the middle of the pack from the bottom. And by their own calculations, they're now saving $250 million a year in healthcare costs because of the Blue Zone project. And now those, because what we implement is long-term, it has lasting savings. It has a long tail on it. So now I'm a big believer, and this is the type of direction we need to go rather than trying to mop up the problems, sicknesses after they've occurred.
Fantastic. Last question. Elon Musk calls you and says, I want to go visit one Blue Zone and have a good time. I don't want to put a shadow on the other four you're not picking, but you know, where have you found it to be the most festive, or where would you go today if you got that call?
I'd probably take him to Kona, Hawaii, or Hilo. Naples, Florida is another fun place to visit, another big Blue Zone city. So those, right. I guess those three, the beach cities of Los Angeles are another big success story with good surfing.
And what about the original five, the heritage Blue Zones?
Oh, go. Nicoya, Costa Rica.
Really?
Yes. It's got beaches, delicious, you know, tropical fruit, jungles, howler monkeys, you know, great ocean, great surfing. And there's been a big kind of, I would say, new age community that has grown up in a place called Nosara in the original Blue Zone, I believe largely because of my books, but it's a mecca for health and well-being.
And not been destroyed by McDonald's and KFC and Burger King.
Well, it's starting in the original city of Nicoya. Burger King and a Pizza Hut have come in, and not coincidentally, the diabetes rates and the obesity rates have taken off, and life expectancy is already starting to plummet.
Tragic, but you know, an important lesson. Well, I think everybody's going to benefit tremendously from our conversation. I personally want to thank you so much for taking time out of such a world-changing schedule you have. It's fantastic, and hope to catch up in person soon. But much gratitude to you, really.
Thank you very much, Joel. And keep, you know, you're a doctor. People listen to you. You walk the talk. You've been a powerful voice for advocating for this kind of, you know, it's actually not in your best interest to keep people healthy because they're not coming to you for your services. But yet you do more than most any other doctors I know in keeping people out of the doctor's office. So I just want to salute you.
I appreciate that. Health does not happen in a doctor's office. It happens in a Blue Zone New American Kitchen cookbook. That's where it happens. So
thank you
very
much.
Get back to my treadmill desk. That's the closest I can get to being a a Sardinian farmer pulling greens. But have a great day.
All right, Joel. Nice. Congratulations.